Now, get ready for Uncensored Sports Madness. It's Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play.
Yeah, everybody have a show today. We had snow today, show today, show tomorrow.
I don't know if you want that on your credit card bill. You know, saying the WWE network on it. I mean, like,
your dad would look at be like, Dave, you have something to tell me?
That's the story that they still
play. It's unbelievable.
You have your LeBron in the filet. It's like, do you really care about the James Jones at the end of the bench against the Haters?
Maybe the board, the MikeFrancesa.com, was just ahead of its time.
Pioneers.
Exactly, yeah.
Pioneers, if you will. Yeah.
We listen to this guy sit at a desk, picking his teeth every day, and all the dumb stuff he does. But it's not like we're changing the dial. We like Mike. You know, we hate Mike, we love Mike, all that back and forth.
Bingo.
Unbelievable.
The San Antonio Spurs, Dave. What do they say about him?
They're boring.
They're boring!
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big Wednesday show. Good to have you with us here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. I'm Dave Medina. Not in the best of spirits right now. I'll explain why. But basically, it had a lot to do with the pursuit of a donut that went way awry. And what an epic fail this whole night was. But I'll tell you more about that in a minute. First, let's tell you about who's coming on our show tonight. We have John in Connecticut and Andy in Seattle joining us for our still-untitled Pick'em segment, which is coming up at quarter of the hour. So 7:45 out here, 10:45 on the East Coast, And then in hour number two, at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, we'll have random questions once again with Kevin on the Cape, where we will talk about more positive things, namely the draft of our team. Kevin and I are on our team. We collaborate on this. We manage it together. And the draft went really well. That's the positive side of things so far from this narrator's perspective. But we'll talk about that a little bit in our second hour tonight, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. So what I wanted to do today to start our program was I wanted to compare two types of donuts. I wanted to compare a newcomer to the West Coast, Dunkin' Donuts, big in Boston, big in New York. It's big on the East Coast. It's a big deal. I wanted to compare that to a longtime local donut shop called DK Donuts. And they've been doing donuts really well for a long time. In fact, I just ate one before we came on air. I'll eat some more of it. This donut that I'm holding in the camera, you won't see it on if you're listening on the podcast, but I am holding a Bavarian cream donut right now in front of your eyes. And I also had a blueberry cake donut earlier in the hour. I mean, earlier, a few minutes ago before I came on air. What I was going to do tonight was I was going to get the same two items at Dunkin', a Bavarian cream donut and a blueberry cake donut, along with their world famous coffee, which I had it before when I was in New York, and it's hard to say that it's better than Pete's or better than Starbucks or any of that. So I was going to have a coffee, and then I would have been switching off between these donuts, and you know I would have tried one first and then the other one, and that was the plan. But then I started to drive over to the Dunkin' Donuts. It was five of six. And, there was like a line curling around the block. I thought, you know, I didn't expect it to be pretty busy still. I know that it was I know that right now that the Dunkin' Donuts is a huge deal. I think this goes to show you how many East Coast transplants there are here in Santa Monica. I mean, just a ton. I mean, they have a bar called Sonny McLean's. It's an old Boston bar, and Dunkin' Donuts is a Boston thing too. So they're lining up around the block. I'm like, oh, do I do this? And I should have just not done it. it was a stupid idea. I was trying so hard to get this going. Like, I wanted to do a real taste test. And I mean, this donut I'm having right now, really good. I mean, it's really good. I just wanted to see if Dunkin' would have been as good. You know, in a direct comparison, I could have used the coffee to split up the taste so that, you know, I could have a clean palate for each donut. And it just didn't work out. I mean, even getting the donuts I got was a chore, because I wasn't smart enough to go to the ATM beforehand. So I had to scuffle. There was an ATM in the donut shop, DK, the DK donut shop. And I went in there, and there was what they called a TCPIP error. It couldn't connect to the server to dispense the money. So the transaction was canceled, and I was on spinning the wheels again. Well, I looked over and I realized that there was a 7-Eleven on that same strip mall, so I just went over there. And I tried to use the ATM there, and it got really confusing. I didn't really know, you know, how the whole thing, you know, the system was just a little odd. It was asking me if I wanted a balance first before they asked me about doing an ATM withdrawal. That was nuts, so I didn't bother with that. And then I just did what I was going to do in the first place, but I thought the line was too long, but then the line shortened at the 7-Eleven, and that was this. I was going to get a Snickers bar and do an ATM an ATM cashback. And they only would allow $10 cashback, but I said, that's perfect. That's all I need. So I got it. And I went over to the donut shop, which is cash only, hence this whole affair. And I got the two donuts that I wanted. But then I asked for the blueberry cake donut to be glazed. And I asked for a glazed one, but apparently they only do the glazing like on the spot. I'm like, well, no, guys, it's nice of it. I was ready to like get rolling already with this. And they just took the donut in the back and like they did a fresh glaze. And it's awesome. I mean, I'm looking at it like this looks pretty good. But I'm like, man, this is nice. But I just wanted to get the donut and go. So I had to wait around a little bit for that donut to get its glaze. That's the blueberry donut. And it came out really well. I love that blueberry donut. I've been eating that blueberry donut for, well, not continuously, but I've been having it off and on for the last 5 years since I moved here. I would go to DK Donut and Bakery, 16th and Santa Monica Boulevard, 16th Street, Santa Monica Boulevard, and I'd get that blueberry donut. It's really good. I remember, you know, a couple times I would get one of these donuts at least, the blueberry one, and bring it over for NFL football. So good. I mean, I'm a huge fan. Now they've gotten even more expansive. They've got, like, croissant things. They've got sandwiches. They've always had the sandwiches, but they've got, like, yeah, they like croissant donuts and triple decker, like cream in the middle. It's really become a wonderful place. So I'm thinking, how is Dunkin' going to really stack up against this? And am I going to win any players in this league? My goodness. But anyway, I was checking out with Dunkin'. Yeah. So I went over to Dunkin' trying to see what the difference would have been, and it was nuts. I never got the chance. Now, the good news here is that I've had these donuts already. Like when I would go to Arizona or Las Vegas or when I go out east, there are Dunkin' Donuts in all those places, so I've had a chance to try these donuts on separate occasions. And I remember them being pretty good. I remember the Bavarian Donut Cream Donut was good. I don't think it was as good as this, though. This one is really good. Mmm. Oh. Oh, I love it. Did I win that? I think I finally won a player, or did I not win a player? Ugh. I'm also doing a fantasy draft at the same time as this podcast. It's just been, this day's just not working out for me. Now, what I think is interesting is that, one moment. Thanks for waiting. So, what's interesting is that, you know, all I wanted to do was get a donut. Instead, I ended up missing this draft that I'm doing right now, the Umer draft. And I was so late that I ended up my account automatically bid on like three running backs. with like $150, and I was left with just more than that, like $160. I was left with just about nothing, and it was just a complete fail. I just couldn't get over how awful that was. But okay, finally have a quarterback. Whew, Tony Romo. So I ended up missing the draft. I have a terrible fantasy team now, and now I don't have a donut from Dunkin' Donuts, and I ended up, and then on top of all that, I ended up getting a parking ticket because I parked in the wrong spot in the street. All that plus I had a splinter momentarily from a tree. I rubbed my finger on a tree and I got a splinter, but that I was able to pull right out. It was okay. It's a frustrating day. I really wish that I had waited a week when the crowds died down for this. I mean, people literally were driving from all over the state to see this. And I can't understand why a donut would get this popular. That's what really surprised me. I mean, guys, it's a donut. I just think it's nuts that people would really go through the trouble of doing all that just for a donut. But I mean, hey, look, I did it, so I guess I'm the fool. So what? Again, wasn't really much. It was just a crazy day. What I think we're gonna do right now is I need to collect my thoughts. We'll take a break here. And we'll go ahead and take a break on the program as I try to sort out everything else. So I'll be back, and we have some other thoughts to share with you. I thought I was going to go about 20 minutes with this rant, but it didn't really work out. I got to talk to you about Pac-12 football, UCLA. They are really looking like they're having a tough time right now. But first, let's take the break, and we will collect, and we will come back. So sorry, I'm really sorry that this Dunkin' Donuts thing didn't work. I will say that DK Donuts, really good. If you ever are around and you can't, you don't have the time to go to Dunkin', go to DK. It's on 16th and Santa Monica. So been there for a few years. Hopefully you'll like it too. But we'll take a break now. Back after this is Dave in the City. Here in the city, Locks of the Week Radio. Something is up with my sound levels. It seems like it just seems to me like something is amiss, because it seems like everything's so running pretty hot. I don't know what's going on here. It almost is as if Yeah, I'm a little confused, honestly. I don't know what's going on here. But everything seems to be running hot. I don't even know if the sound's coming in right on YouTube or not. So sorry about that, everybody. I mean, I come in and it just seems like, I don't know, it's just the microphone's off or something else is off. I couldn't really say. So my apologies for that. So getting a parking ticket in Santa Monica is ridiculously easy. It happens to happen because there are so many weird esoteric rules. When you're south of Wilshire, apparently the sign says, see, I didn't understand what this, I thought it was 2 a.m. to 7 a.m., no parking. No, the sign is 7 a.m. to 2 a.m., which is like freaking the whole day. I'm like, 7 a.m. to 2 a.m., you can't park on the street except unless you have a permit? I'm like, that's just unreasonable. Because if people want to park, yeah, I know you can park north of Wilshire, but if people want to park around that block, it's not reasonable. So you can only park there unless you have a permit from like 2 to 7. And it's been that way forever, but I remember I got confused. And I thought that the sign on the street said no parking 7 a.m. to 2 a.m., which would 2 a.m. to 7 a.m., which would make so much more sense. So much more sense. Because, you know, oftentimes you don't want guys keeping cars parked there forever if it's one of those high-profile streets. All right, that happens a lot. So most people think, all right, well, overnight parking, no. So then, you know, wee hours, don't park. Well, the sign didn't say that. It said no parking 2 a.m., 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. Well, you see, they're both a.m. That's tough to figure out. It really is. I mean, how are you going to manage that, in all honesty? It's just, it's a mess. It really is. And I just think that was just really terribly done. I'm really out of it tonight. I don't know what else to really talk about. I'm just kind of lost right now, honestly. This is probably going to be one of the worst podcasts ever. But it is going to get better at quarter of. We will have our football picks coming up with John in Connecticut and Andy in Seattle joining us for that. Also have picks from Ron in New Jersey who sent them in over text. And we'll go over all of those in about a half an hour from now. So I'm not quite ready to continue yet, so I'll take another break. And we'll see what happens. Thank you very much for bearing with me. We'll be back. This is Dave in the City. Back at it in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. Good to have you back with us. It's just been a really wild week in the Pac-12. UCLA disappointed me, I gotta tell you. I don't know whether whether they had some real problem, whether it was just a temporary thing, but it was really disappointing to see their offense last week against Virginia. Virginia is not good. I mean, you're talking about a team that really could barely score at all. Suddenly they switch their quarterback right before the end of the half, and they are completely lost. It is crazy. I was a little bit surprised, in all honesty, how bad things were getting for the Bruins. I mean, they could not move the ball. And Virginia's defenders were getting right after Brett Hundley so easily. He did not have time to throw. It was really a disappointment, to say the least, and just a tough spot all around. I mean, they couldn't move the ball. Wide receivers were not getting separation. They couldn't run. They had really no control of their offense whatsoever against Virginia. I mean, you struggle against Oregon, that's one thing. You struggle against Stanford, okay. Virginia is not that good. I am surprised. Now, defensively, they were great. Their defense scored 3 touchdowns. Their defense is playing very well, and they won the game by 7 points. But, boy, to say that was not a disappointment for the Bruins, you would be out of your mind if you didn't think that was disappointing. That was a major disappointment. This is a team that's supposedly good enough to qualify for the 4-team national championship playoff. And to come out that slowly against Virginia is really, really worrisome if you're a UCLA fan. Now, I know it's a long season. Often the first week is inconclusive. A lot of teams looked, and I say a lot, I mean a lot. A lot of teams looked pretty shaky in their first game. Alabama looked shaky against who was it? I think it was against, who did they play? Oh, West Virginia, yeah. Against West Virginia. Florida State looked really shaky against Oklahoma State. I mean, I don't think they were really in danger of losing the game, but they would not go away. And that was a game a lot of people thought. I thought they were gonna just pick up the gas and just run away with it. In a dome, defending their championship. It seemed like they would be the much stronger team in this game, but they weren't. They were really just having a tough time getting separation in the scoreboard. Didn't happen, and that was just the beginning. I think Wisconsin was supposedly the team to beat between them and LSU. LSU won. They had 15 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. So it was a shaky start for a lot of teams. But the UCLA game stands out. And it stands out to me because it seemed like it seemed like the kind of game where I thought that they really, really could have made a statement. And I'm not really sure what that says. One thing I do remember about UCLA from last year, they could not handle speed on defense, and they could not handle physicality. And Stanford presented the physicality. It wasn't necessarily a blowout, but they were manhandled by Stanford at Palo Alto. Same idea for Oregon. I mean, Oregon beat them when they were at Autzen Stadium. In fact, I remember that UCLA was up like 17-0 in that game. They gave up like 3 unanswered points, and they lost going away. Now you start to wonder about the Bruins. You start to wonder a little bit about what this team's all about. I am wondering about that team. Is this team going to be for real? Are they going to be a force to be reckoned with for real? I don't know, man. I was a little skeptical anyway. Their schedule is so tough. But, struggling like that with Virginia. It's Virginia, man. The next big next ranked opponent they play, they're probably going to lose that game by 13 points or more. UCLA's got a home game against Memphis, who's really just as bad, maybe even worse. It's at the Rose Bowl, and there's still like a 30-35 point favorite in that game. Now, if they lose, if they win that game by only like, you know, two touchdowns, or, you know, if they win by game by a touchdown, you better start worrying. Because, like, seriously, if their offense is so bad that they cannot get, they cannot make a decisive game against, if they cannot get a, if they cannot set up a decisive game against Memphis, what's going to happen when they start going all the way out to Texas to play? Well, Dallas specifically, but to play Texas and the Longhorns the week after. I mean, seriously. I was thinking about this all along. I talked to my roommate and friend coach about this. UCLA is the kind of team that needs every win it can get, because it just seems to me like they are going to get at least, at minimum, one loss in conference play. And they're probably going to get two losses in conference play if you really think about it. So, but most likely one. I mean, if they get to, you know, it's still doable, but it's going to be tougher. But they can't lose. They cannot lose a non-conference game. And these teams are beatable. Even Texas, although Texas is still the one I think is pretty tough. I looked at that and I'm like, wow. I mean, if you're struggling against a ranked team, that's one thing. If you struggle against a gutty team like, let's say, Wisconsin. No, I'm not saying. West Virginia. It's got some, you know, they can occasionally run out some speed. They've had their moments. But Virginia was bad. I mean, I know that these guys can't. I know they're eventually going to get. I know that Virginia's eventually going to get going to get better, but, man, I was just, that was disappointing. I mean, and I think most people following the game would agree. UCLA did not look good this week. Defensively, they were fine. Again, they scored three touchdowns, and they were pretty good at, you know, keeping teams away from fourth down. But, man, they did not convert in third down consistently. They only got one touchdown the whole game. 28 points, and only 7 of the 28 were off from offense. I mean, what can you say about that that's positive? They really looked like they were struggling. So, I'm not sure. I really think that was really, really bad. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but that was, oh, man. UCLA football just not doing so hot right now. Oregon did all right, and Stanford did pretty well. USC did really well. I mean, they did play. I mean, they played Fresno State, and they seemed to be having their way with Fresno State. Back-to-back games against them, first in the Las Vegas Bowl, and then the home opener in LA, and they've just smashed them both times. So, I think they were just, I think it was just simply fantastic. And this is, I didn't watch the game. The reason I didn't watch the game was because I had some other obligations to attend to, but I was keeping track of it on the phone. And they did not, I don't think they had I think they were converted on every third down going like a quarter and three quarters, like almost till the very end of the first half, before they did not convert on a third down. And then they kicked a field goal. So SC is looking really good, but it's early. So it's funny because for USC, right out of that, they got to play against Stanford on the road in Palo Alto. That's tough. I mean, it was tough last year too when Stanford came out to SC to play them at the Coliseum. USC won that game, but that was a really tough fought game. No different will it be here. I think USC is going to win that game, though. I think they have a chance to win that game. They've got, I mean, Kessler's coming back. I mean, you've got Buck Allen. You've got Nelson Aguilar. It's a fantastic offense. I mean, I think that team, when they're spread, and now the newly converted spread offense, really is going to give Pac-12 teams a bit more of a scare than they normally do. And if you remember, in that game against Fresno State, USC ran the most plays in a game ever in their history and apparently in the Pac-12's history too, but don't quote me. That's pretty impressive. So USC football is in a good spot. I mean, but again, this is going to be a tough test right out of the box. Even if they lose the game, I don't think that's a season ender, but certainly they've got the tools to win the game, and then we'll see what happens from there. Boy, that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, before the season started, man, people were just talking up. And I mean, they were talking a big UCLA big time, and suddenly they didn't look so hot. So they've got some work to do. I'm sure that they'll make the adjustments. They'll try to be more efficient on offense, and they should have a good game. They should have a good game against Memphis. And after that, it remains to be seen. We'll see what happens afterward. For me, the big test for UCLA is going to be Texas. The big test for USC is going to be Stanford. And the big test for Oregon, the other top team expected to make a big noise in the Pac-12, is coming up this week, too. They're going to be playing Michigan State. And you know what? I kind of like Michigan State in that game. And I saw the point spread. It said plus 12. I'm like, plus 12? Plus 12 for Michigan State at Oregon. I know Oregon's good at home, but plus 12 for a physical team like Michigan State. And, Oregon does not play very well against physical teams. Stanford is one. Maybe Auburn is another one when they were in the national championship years ago. I don't think I'm necessarily counting that, but Stanford kicked them twice. They kicked them right out of the national championship picture. And with each game, it looked more and more embarrassing. It's like they were crying uncle in the second matchup at Stanford. Wow, huh? Now, other teams that have given them fits, let's see. Arizona gave him fits, but I don't think that's because of the physicality. I think that was just a weird... That was just a fluke, I think. I mean, who knows with that. But they don't play well against physical teams. They've played against other physical teams, and USC was pretty physical. And I think they... I'm thinking about the game that they played where it was like 60 to 50. Oregon could not... I mean, Oregon had control of it, basically. But they really couldn't, like, blow them out. So it made me think, you know... What does their defense bring to the table? So you couple that with the fact that, again, it's tough for Oregon and their spread offense, which operates a lot more on the run than the pass, to... because, they run options and things like that. But it's really tough to see them doing that same thing against Michigan State with success. I mean... So it's going to be a big matchup. Michigan State, I think Michigan State's at least going to make that thing close. We'll see what happens. So that's what college, the Pac-12 right now. It is a big week for the Pac-12 to really make a statement. And I think the statement will be made if Oregon can come up and beat Michigan State. They don't even have to beat them by a lot. I mean, they just beat them at all. And that's a great win. I'm a little skeptical, though. We'll see. I mean, I'm not saying that they can't do it. Michigan State looked very good in their opening game, but they played an FCS team, I believe, and it was like Jacksonville State. And, man, those guys, I think it took them like four quarters to score a touchdown. That's a woeful team. So I thought that was a little, the game was inconclusive. I have no idea whether Michigan State really is as good as they were last year just from that. It's too early to tell. But this game... is not going to wait around. It's going to be played now, and we'll see who ends up winning. So I'm excited about the whole thing. You've got to get that, plus the USC game coming up, and a bunch of other action I'm sure we can look forward to as we get into this week. It's amazing that we have these kind of matchups now, because I know that for a lot of teams, they don't even play conference games for about a month. But here, you're looking at teams that are getting right into it. I think we're going to get this. I'm working on the draft here and bidding on... Ah, shoot. I guess some people have just a little bit more money than I do on that. I was looking forward to getting T.Y. Hilton in my fantasy draft. Doesn't look like it's happening. I do need a wide receiver, though. There's a few others coming up the pipeline, though. people are running out of money. I think I'll make this work. So, with all that said, wow, we really got a draft going here in the Umer draft as we continue on our podcast, Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. Whew. Yeah, it's going to be a fun week, though, because I think college football is really getting in the swing of things. And as I promised, we have a quick preview to offer you for Packers-Seahawks tomorrow. And basically it's this. I think the Seahawks are the defending champions for a reason. Their defense looks really good. They should win the game. The Packers did give them the toughest time when they played. That was 2 years ago, the Fail Mary game. So it took an illicit call for the Seahawks to even win. Seahawks get a little few breaks along the way, but their defense is fantastic. There's no question about it. And they're big on contact, and that's a good thing. Because that's the kind of way that football used to be played, and I think I support it. But anyway, I'm interested to know what Aaron Rodgers is going to do against that front line. I think he's going to be fine. And I tell you what, while I said that Seattle's going to win this game, I also think that it's going to be a pretty tight one, and it should be decided by less than 7 points. I think it's going to be pretty good. We'll see how it pans out for real as we go along. I need to nominate a player. Hey, let me nominate a player. Golly. This new Yahoo system is terrible. Anyway, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back as soon as we get our panel together. We're about to start our... I'm running out of music, but we're about to start our first podcast pick segment of the year, and we're only about 7-8 minutes away from it now. And then at the top of the next hour, we'll have Kevin on the Cape coming up. So, oh wait a minute, was that the whole preview? Well, let me just quickly break this down too. Packers offense is a lot of wide receivers options. I mean, from Boykin to Lacy to Jordy Nelson. I mean, it's really good all the way down. And certainly, that's going to be a challenge for the DBs to cover. I think the Seahawks defense is pretty healthy. They look like they're ready to go. And especially in defense of their title, it should be a nice matchup for Seattle going into that. I mean, they've often just blown people away in these kind of affairs. They have. But I think my question is, are they going to be... Have they really faced, in recent time, have they faced anyone with the arm of Aaron Rodgers? But conversely, you could say the same thing about Rodgers. Is Rodgers good in close games? ESPN's Colin Cowherd believes that Aaron Rodgers can't play well in close games. Well, I mean, just the fact that they lost all the games doesn't mean that he hasn't been playing well. I think we'd have to just see that in action before I can really make a ruling either way. I think he's great no matter what he's doing and when he's playing. And I seem to remember that the Super Bowl against the Steelers was pretty close. The one thing I think that they say about Aaron Rodgers is that he's not really much of a comeback player. Like, if his team's down, he can't really make a huge comeback. Well, I mean, there's a lot of tangibles. There's a lot of factors that really go into that sort of a thing. So, well, it remains to be seen. We'll see. Okay, so we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back. And once we get back here in the program, we will get into our football picks of the week featuring John in Connecticut and Andy in Seattle tonight. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Dave in the City. Zach Kennedy in the City, Lux of the Week Radio. I'm Dave Medina. It is 7:41 on the West Coast. Good to have you back with us. And we are just about ready for our football picks, but I was just doing some analysis of that parking ticket that I got. 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. So, I mean, they're both a.m.s. It's just tough anyway. Enough of that. I'm feeling better now, though. I am ready to go, and a very exciting football weekend is approaching us. So to help us break down what's to come, let's get some of the best picks of the week, and we will begin doing that with our weekly feature, which we start this year called the right now it's just called Football Picks. I don't have a name for it yet. So our untitled Football Picks segment begins, and to start us off, how about the guy who won the Football Pick'em last year in our podcast feature, John in Connecticut. John, thank you for joining us as we both are still drafting in the Umer League. How are things going tonight?
Doing good, Dave. Thanks for having me on. I have a lot to uphold now as the defending champion, so hopefully we can keep it going again this year.
Yeah, I mean, terrific job by you, and certainly best of luck to you as you start this season. We'll run down the format quickly for those who are not familiar with this format. Basically, what we do is we will get a group of people. You know, we have a couple of guys contribute with their picks each week. We usually end up with the same group of two or three people, and the picks we use are two NCAA football games, along with two NFL football games. And if anybody wants to, they can contribute bonus picks, which don't necessarily have to be counted in the standings. We usually don't count them. So two and two, four picks total every week, and then we'll tabulate them in our spreadsheet, and we'll announce the winner at the end of the football season. So very exciting, and some good games, of course. So I am interested to pick your brain, John. Let's get your word on what you have for your football picks this week.
You want me to give all four, so both the NFL and college?
That's a good question. I don't have Andy here yet, so maybe as we wait for him to come on, because it's not 7:45 yet. Can I ask you a quick little question about your fantasy draft? How's that going? Like, do you have just about it where you want it in this auction draft in the Umer League?
No, I think I did horrible. I don't know. I'm always worried about like spending big money early, and then I don't end up getting like high quality players. I think I got some solid players. I spent most of my money on Aaron Rodgers. Of course, as a Green Bay fan, I pretty much make the bank for him every year. But the rest of my players are okay. I got Keenan Allen, Deshaun Jackson, Andre Ellington. I think these are decent picks, Julius Thomas. But Frank Gore was kind of a stretch. I don't know why I spent $20 on him, but we'll see how it goes.
You know, Frank Gore's a little bit of an anomaly in a sense that even though he's pretty old, I still think he can be a productive guy. But it's understandable that you'd be worried spending $20 on them because you never know with the injury. So I think that's a decent point. I gotta get my pick in here pretty soon. I'm kind of just winging it at this point. So you got Aaron Rodgers. So
yeah.
I mean, if you gotta spend a lot of money on somebody, Aaron Rodgers has been a pretty capable pick over the last three or four weeks. So that's a good scenario, I think. So okay, so we have Andy back on the line with us now. So let me go ahead and pop him on, and we'll go ahead and then we'll just start our spot. And so let's get Andy first. Andrew, welcome to the program. How is it going tonight?
Hey, man. Hey, Dave. Hey, John. And I guess this is a new format. You got a new platform with the YouTube simulcast all over the internet,
yeah.
World Wide Web.
We got it on video now. It's pretty wild stuff, Andy. Good deal.
Awesome. How's everybody doing tonight?
Pretty, I've had better nights. I mean, I made just a complete disaster. I got a parking ticket. It's just a long story. I'll get into it another time. But other than that, the podcast, I'm doing okay. I mean, we got the football picks. We got the football picks and the football games coming up. Huge weekend in the Pac-12. Andy, just really quickly before we even get into the picks, were you a little concerned about the way UCLA played against Virginia, because their offense was definitely slow to start, and it makes me wonder because a lot of people touted this team, Is it too early to worry about that, or do you think UCLA had some signs of concern?
Well, you had a lot of reverb there, but I understood most of your question, so I'll go ahead and take a stab at it.
Okay.
I think it's too early to panic, you know, week one. Like Mr. Mike said today, it's just week one, and they've got so many, I wouldn't say unfair expectations, because they are talented and they had a really good year last year. And their quarterback is, you know, if he had he gone pro last year, he probably would have been in the first round. So they ooze talent. They got that guy that's a local Seattle Mongo who played, like, offense and defense last year. So they're a legit team. And I think teams that came in with big expectations last year to start the year kind of laid little eggs here and there, not big eggs. Well, South Carolina laid a big egg, but, you know, Alabama, they laid a couple eggs here and there. They were a big favorite. They only won by 10. Florida State laid a few eggs. They didn't cover. And so I think UCLA, I didn't watch too much to that game, Dave and John, but I saw some of it. And, I mean, Virginia is not going to be as bad as they were expected to be. They were 2-10 last year. Maybe they were a better record or better team than that 2-10 record indicated. But I don't know. It was a gloomy day in Virginia. I don't know. I don't know what type of mindset they were in. I mean, maybe they looked past Virginia and thought they could just win by showing up. You know, in Mora, I'd still be a little – see, I would be more worried about Mora in the big picture than the one game against Virginia, to be honest with you.
Good point, Sandy. I thanks for that. You know, John, I was just thinking about UCLA all week. I'm like, this was not what I expected them to do to start the season. We both agree that they did not look too good against Virginia. Is it inconclusive in terms of their season-long outlook? Your thoughts about UCLA as a potential contender? John? Hello? I think we lost John. John, do we have you on the phone? I think we lost him, Andy. Okay. Let me just... I'm going to put John... I'm going to disconnect John temporarily. Oh, that's me? Oh, I'm the one that got lost? Oh, boy. That's not good. Oh, boy. Oh, my God. This is not my night. Oh, boy.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Okay, I'm back on the
show. Anyone alive out there?
Are you guys back on? Okay, sorry about that. My phone, I think my Skype connection died on me, so can you guys hear me okay?
Well, we're good.
Okay.
Yeah, you sound really good right now.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that. So let's just start with the picks. We'll do the college picks first, and then we'll move on to the pro picks afterwards. So 2-2 for each. So we'll start with the two college picks. And John, since you are the defending champion, we will give you the first. We'll give you the first word.
All right, we'll start off here with a game that I don't know if Andy will be paying attention, but it involves his alma mater, UMass, and I will not be taking UMass. I will be going with Colorado. A really weird game, Colorado traveling across the country to play UMass, but alas, here we are. And they're only giving 17.5, which is important because UMass very well might be the worst team in the country this season. They brought back their old coach, but they just got drilled by BC, and I wouldn't consider BC Boston College. They're just a mere average team. I know Colorado isn't great, but they're still in the Pac-12. They've been getting better under their new coach. And I actually think, they played pretty well against Colorado State. That's a rivalry game last week. And I think Colorado State is a fairly solid team, but UMass should be no match for them. I expect a 20-30-point win here. And it's why the line is a little slow. Maybe, but we'll see.
Colorado minus 17.5 for the first game, kind of a sheer game in Gillette.
Oh, my goodness. I think we're offline again. This is... Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. Oh, my gosh. What the heck? All right, we'll be right back, folks. If you're watching us here on the YouTube. Oh, my God. Do I have everybody back? Hello? Hello? I'm so sorry, guys. Hello? Hello? God.
Fuck. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This Skype call-in number is full at the moment.
God, Jesus. Okay. Sorry. Sorry about that, guys. Let's get this back in action.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Bad team.
John, thanks for holding on, guys. I'm having some technical difficulties. Blog Talk Radio is going gym on me all of a sudden. John, I got your first pick, Colorado minus 17. What's your second pick?
You got Colorado minus 17.5, right?
Oh, yeah, 17.5, okay. And a half.
And then Michigan State. Yeah, and then Michigan State. Plus 11.5.
Okay. Michigan State plus 11.5. Okay. I had it at 12, but that's cool. 11.5 is good. Works for me. Great. All right. So your two college picks. And thank you again for bearing with me here with these technical difficulties. I don't know what happened, but I'm trying to get a more stable connection. So let's turn to Andy in Seattle and let's get your two college picks.
Okay, yeah. Okay, week two, and two quick games here. Again, there's really this early in the year, you kind of just you can't help but get your personal preferences and likes in the mix rather than actual. Well, this team is 7-1 against the spread of their last Friday. You can't play that really, so you just got to go by feel at this point. So anyway, first game, they looked bad last Thursday. They started the year with big expectations despite the loss of Connor Shar and Davion Clowney. You know, ESPN loves them. The SEC Network is going to love them. They're always on Thursday nights, and they just laid an egg against Texas A&M. But we'll take them again because they're playing East Carolina. The line is 16.5. I really know nothing about this year's version of East Carolina. Maybe by December we'll be having to pick them in the bull confidence pool and maybe assign 4 points to that game. But listen, South Carolina, they probably want to punish somebody just to get all that steam and anger released from last week's disappointment. And they have Georgia, I believe, the following week. So they need to have a show Saturday night, because if they don't have a show and they get beat by Georgia, which at this point, after what Georgia did to Clemson in that second half, I don't see South Carolina having a decent game plan for Gurley. And so they could be 1-2. If they don't look good this week against East Carolina, then, you know, that season is just going to – basically go bunk. The South Carolina is a much different team than in years past. They really miss Connor Shar. You know, Connor Shar was able to throw the ball, and he had these little chicken little legs that was able to provide him with an ability to make third downs with his legs. Whether it's 3rd-and-3 or 3rd-and-9, he was always a risk to the opposing team for first downs. And this guy now, Dylan Thompson, he's got a good arm, but he's almost cut from the mold of Steven Garcia, just chucking and not really respecting the ball possession. Having said that, and Mike Davis is hurt too. I'm basically making a case for East Carolina to cover, but I want South Carolina to cover, and I'm picking them to cover. I just feel after 60 minutes, SEC Athletics will overcome and just have their way with East Carolina. They played last year, actually, and or maybe 2 years ago, and South Carolina had their way with them. I just figure too much power, despite their question marks after last week. I think they'll just have a bounce back game, inferior opponent. South Carolina get the job done, and then they'll have their hands full against Georgia next week.
Okay.
So give me South Carolina minus 16.5. Game number two, we'll take Colorado State. They're getting 10.5 at Boise. And Colorado State, as John alluded to, they went to a bowl game last year. Their coach is a Nick Saban protege, and he kind of runs a similar program, no nonsense, always thinking about the next step. It's not big things this year, bigger things next year, things like that. And they are returning a decent amount of people. Their quarterback is decent. He played there last year. And this is basically an anti-Boise State pick. They did not look good last week. They don't have Peterson anymore. Boise State was all about Peterson. Certain programs are about one thing. Penn State was only about Joe Paterno. Boise State was all about their coach. You know, other big programs, Alabama, you could say it was about Paul Bear Bryant, Joe Namath, all those other guys. But Boise State was only about Peterson. And without Peterson, they are a bird with one wing right now. And even the last few years of the Peterson era, they were lacking a little bit of offensive power. Their defense was, pretty good. And they were doing just slightly under what they were used to doing. Instead of being a dark horse for national championship, they were, winning 9 to 10 games. Always a
It's really not my night. I'm going to try to get this back. Really not my night. Andy's doing a great job of explaining these picks, though, I must say.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
For 55 minutes, be down 17, and you get that backdoor opportunity. So give me Colorado State plus 10.5.
All right. Good picks, actually. I was looking at that game myself. I'm not going to partake in it, but that's well done, Andy. Well done, John. Just to give you quickly Ron's picks. He picks Virginia Tech plus 11 at Ohio State, San Diego State plus 16.5, and then two bonus picks. Stanford minus 2.5 against SC, and Mizzou minus 3.5. So giving those points for the two bonus picks. So let's now move on to the NFL side of our picks for the week. John, you have the first word. Two NFL games. Which games will you select?
Who are those picks before that you just read off?
Those are for Ron, from Ron in New Jersey. Ron in New Jersey.
Okay, thanks. You broke up the first second.
Okay.
All right, so we'll give you the game. First off, we'll start with the Bears minus 7 over the Buffalo Bills. And if anyone, I know it's kind of hard to, how much does preseason really matter, but you got to take some of it with a grain of salt. The point that you can kind of project forward, and if the Bills play anything like they did in the preseason, they're just in for a miserable, miserable season. E.J. Manuel cannot complete a forward pass. Sammy Watkins has already hurt their top draft choice. Manuel was already, looking pretty shaky last year. They're just a very poorly run team just from the top to bottom. And I think that a tough situation here going on the road to Chicago. I guess Cutler throwing bombs to Marshall and Jeffrey. Play being a beast out of the backfield. They have a really good offense, and it should be no match for the Bills here. So we'll take the Bears minus 7. You figure they should win this game by between 10 and 14 points. If I lose this pick, so be it. I never a bad day when the Bears lose. That'll help the Packers out, but I don't see it this week. I think they'll win pretty easily here. So Bears minus 7 for the first pick. The second pick, kind of a weird game, but I'm going to go with a road dog. I'm going to take the Titans plus 4 in Kansas City, and I'll call for the outright win here. Kansas City was a team that I think really overachieved last season. They won, well, 10 or 11 wins. Early on, their schedule was really, really easy. They played on some pretty bad quarterbacks through that streak, which kind of bolstered the sense of numbers. And we all remember the playoff game where Andrew Luck came back from what was like 30 points and won the game and just shredded their defense. They didn't improve anything in the offseason with their weapons for Alex Smith, and he's not the kind of guy that makes the receivers around him better. Not to mention, Linval will not be playing in this game. They lost some guys off their offensive and defensive lines. I just think they're going to regress this year. I'm not a big Tennessee fan either. I think Wilson Hunt is so overrated, but you know he's here coaching in his first season. I don't think Blake Locker is there either, but I think in this scenario, we'll take him getting the points on the road, and I think this is a field goal game, and I do think they'll get the win. So the two NFL picks, Bears -7 and Titans +4.
I kind of feel like the Titans are going to have a pretty decent season. And by decent, I mean like, you know, 8-8 or 9-7. So I kind of see sort of along the lines of what you said, although I know you said you aren't high on the Titans overall. But I do like them in this matchup as well. I think that's an interesting thought. So I'll keep an eye on the Titans all year, see how that goes. Andy, you have there are two NFL games
okay,
that
Dave.
You can you hear me? Hello? Andy, do I have you?
You got a lot of reverb, but it's all good. I think I got the message, but
okay, sorry, man.
Let's just list these two games real quick here.
Okay, yeah.
Game number one, and maybe we're just buying into the Nick Foles instant offense, Chip Kelly, Kool-Aid, but I'm going to take Philadelphia giving 11 to what I think will be a hapless Jacksonville Jaguar team. And I know 11 is a lot of points, especially in week one, and, you know, National Football League, they're pro, so 11 points is definitely a lot, but this is just a pick that's based on Jacksonville's most recent history of being slightly above atrocious, and just the way Philly has been able to just basically have game after game after game of, you know, pretty high octane, consistent, and talented offense. You know, I remember the game last year, opening game against I think it was Washington, and they had a great show on that first Monday night game, and you know, we saw a lot of Foles at Arizona, and didn't really think he would be a great pro. He's basically proved me to look like a bongo, but he was good at college, and obviously he fits whatever Chip Kelly thinks works at the NFL level. You know, I can't picture Foles wearing an Oregon uniform doing what he does, but apparently it doesn't matter. So I think Philly is going to be, you know, everyone loves to just praise the NFC East for just intensity and toughness. I think Philly will be the team that rises from that mess at the end of the season, and I think they just start their season on the right note with big thumping at the expense of Jacksonville. So game one will be Philly -11. And game number two, you know, just to be a mongo, we will take the Lions giving 6 to the new-look Giants with the old-school hag Tom Coughlin as coach. I know PDOT a few years ago said they've got like 15 cornerbacks, and that could be Pro Bowl caliber, but or something like that. That's an exaggeration on my part. But I don't know much about the Giants this year, except they got rid of their offensive coordinator. They'll probably want him back after week 4. I just think they're just not going to be a very good team this year. And the Lions, listen, all three of us have seen plenty of Lion pigskin over the past few years. You know, Schwartz is gone, and Schwartz is kind of a clown. Their team was just, they oozed talent, but they were just so undisciplined. They score 35 points one week and then be their own worst enemy the very next week. And then the next week they, you know,
go wall to wall, head to head with Green Bay, and then the next week they lose to a hapless team like Arizona. You know, they just you couldn't figure them out. And you know, they got rid of Schwartz. They bring in Caldwell. You know, you don't trust Caldwell in January, but maybe the first game of the year in September is a different story. And Stafford and Megatron and just their, you know, run by committee scenario and the new guy who was on the Seahawks last year. I just think way too much offense for any of those cornerbacks on the Giants to stop in their pass rush. I know they had pass rush problems last year, and I think it's going to be a struggle for the Giants this year to win 7 or 8 games despite Kim Jones and PDOT thinking Super Bowl. But, you know, I think the Lions will, you know, Lions and Bears and Packers in that division will be fighting. And the Giants and the Cowboys will be fighting for the basement in the NFC East. So
for sure.
Looking forward to week one, that's for sure.
Yeah, here it is. I mean, it's here. And kickoff tomorrow on NBC with the Packers-Seahawks. Maybe the Packers looking for some revenge after 2 years ago. Thanks again. Well, it should be a fun time. Andy, thanks for your picks. John, thanks for your picks. I'll share with you quickly. Can you hear me? Am I reverbing right now? Can you hear me okay? Okay.
Reverb.
I'll have to investigate that some other time. Well, in that case, I'll let you go. If you can hear me, thanks again for coming on tonight. Good luck to your picks, and may this be a good season. Enjoy, and thanks again.
All right, thanks. Good luck, guys.
Yep, good luck. All right, John in Connecticut, Andy in Seattle. That's it for tonight. And the football pick segment still unnamed as we continue on with the show. So and just to add to that, I wanted to bring Ron in New Jersey's other picks. He selects Steelers -7, Chargers +3. So Steelers against the Browns in their opener, and the Chargers are giving 3. I think they were playing Arizona, so that's going to be an interesting game because Arizona's defense is said to be very good. It's not going to be quite the same without Darnell Dockett, though. In fact, it's probably going to noticeably suffer without him, but I think that's exactly why Ron's big on the Chargers in this game. I can see it. I think it makes sense. So that's our picks, and now it's time for America's favorite moment in Sports Talk Podcasting.
To the dance! It's time for random questions.
Good stuff!
In the city with Kevin on the case.
Sorry about all the technical difficulties all night long, and I don't even know if Junkie's going to hear me right either. So we'll just put him on and find out. Kevin on the Cape, welcome back to the show. How's it going tonight?
Oh, you're crystal clear, Dave.
Okay. Sometimes it is the internet connection that's causing the problem. Sometimes it's the wireless.
I think sometimes you get too excited and you strangle your microphone.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of factors that go into it, and I don't know.
I was listening to most of the first hour, and I could hear Andy pretty clear.
No, Andy's fine. Andy's not the problem. It's just that I think they can't hear me right. Like, they were having issues. I was breaking up when I was on the phone. So my voice is – I think my voice is probably just coming in too hot. But it's going to –
Right.
I might have to see what that's all about. I think what I'll do
– You probably have a little more sophisticated microphone than what Blog Talk or what – you know, the rest of them are used to, so maybe you have to kind of go a little bit further away from it. I don't know. Maybe your stuff
question.
Is
that's a decent point.
Too
actually,
advanced. You know,
maybe I think you have I think you're onto something though, because I either have to turn my microphone down or just not talk as loud. One of those. Like, how's this? Is this sounding better or worse or the
sounds
same?
Sounds much better.
Much
better.
Okay, so my mic's too hot. It was as simple as that. I figure that when I speak too loudly, things start to break up. That makes sense, because, like, overmodulation and a lot of that sort of thing. So we'll roll with that. Junkman, I just want you to pass along this word to your nearest Dunkin' Donuts shop. I will never, ever go to a Dunkin' Donuts as long as I can help it. Just let them know that, if you could.
You want me to let them know that? But I don't go there, so how would I let them
good.
Know that?
No, that's just as good. That's perfectly fine. I don't mind that. It's been a frustrating day. I'm just an idiot. I think it's really the summation of that whole thing. I just had a brutal day. You'll just go to look at the. I tried to go to stupid new Dunkin' Donuts that opened in Santa Monica, and instead I got a parking ticket, a blister, and a bad football draft. So, was that worth it?
You got a parking ticket?
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I looked. I parked in the street, and I thought it said. I thought that the parking ticket. I'm losing my mind. I thought that the sign on the street said no parking, you know, 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. But no, it's actually no parking 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. So I made a mistake. My dyslexia killed
me. That's ridiculous. 7 a.m. to 2 a.m.?
Yeah, because they want to designate that.
That's the whole day.
It's the whole day. That's why it's ridiculous. I agree with you.
You can park there for 5 hours in the middle of the night. Who's parking there? Like drug addicts and junkies?
No, what's happening is that they designate it for permit parkers only. Santa Monica's weird. This really gave me some thought to moving out of here. I think I'd like to go back to the suburbs where I don't have to worry about parking days and hours. You know, when I go to my parents' house in Oxnard, all I do is I park. There's no sign. There's no sign park. You can't park here Wednesday for 2 hours or Tuesday for 2 hours or every day for 5 hours or whatever. You just go and you park, and there's always a space. I kind of miss that. I think I wouldn't mind going back to that if I.
Even when I was living in New York, I could never have time to figure out the signs and the roads and the streets. There's idiots in the sitting in their car and they move their car across the street when they have to. This, you know, street cleaning kind of stuff. I would, as much as it pained me to pay for parking, I would just rather pay for it than have to figure out the signs and all that stupid shit.
Yeah, I mean, the fine is extremely rough, but it's not bad. Like, it's not like $200. It's not even close to that. Like, it's not that bad. It's not even $100. So, I mean, it's an amount that you can live with, but you're extremely annoyed, you know. And, I mean, hey, listen, I made it 2 years without getting a citation, at least. That's a personal record for this town. It's just so ridiculous trying to park here. There are barely any parking spaces. And then the ones that they have all, like I said, all these signs and restrictions, and some streets have one way, and then some streets have the other way. It's just, it's an incredibly frustrating existence. Ugh, nothing is consistent here. Every block is different. I'm not even joking. Every single block has it slightly different in some way, shape, or form with how you park. Like, 2-hour parking in one spot, in one side of the street, and then you go south of a certain street, and it's actually unlimited parking, but only until Thursday. It's just, I've had enough. Do you have to worry about parking? Do you have parking stuff like this where you live? Like in the town?
No, I do not.
No? You just park, right? No. You put the car there,
you just
and
park.
That's it. I miss that.
You just park.
I miss
it,
this.
Parking should not be this complicated.
No. This Santa Monica parking is the... I thought it was Westwood for a while. That's close. It's like 1A. But Santa Monica is number one in terms of toughest place to park. I mean, it's particularly bad around Wilshire Boulevard, but... It's not as bad in Main Street, but still kind of challenging. But the closer you get to the beach, the worse it is. Like, and I'm close to the beach now, so it's almost, yeah, it's like, it's a chore. I mean, I should be happy that I made it 2 years without getting a citation. I made it 2 years. Hey, that's not bad. I mean, I've done worse. So, anyway, on that weird note. Think about that. All that for Dunkin' Donuts. It's just stupid. I'm just not a smart human being. I am not smart. Unbelievable.
That's the more annoying part of the story. Not that you got a citation. It's that you got the citation because you wanted to go to a new Dunkin' Donuts.
It's dumb. I've already been there. I know what it tastes like. I just wanted to compare and contrast with like this other local place, which, by the way, had really good donuts tonight. Really good. And I just wanted to go on the podcast and, like, you know, that would have been the big, it would have been a great first hour. Like, we could have tested them and we would see, and people would see, like, how the reaction and the response to these donuts. So, you know, I think the worst part about this is that, you know, if I just waited like a week or waited another, like 2 weeks, I wouldn't even have had this issue, because like the place would have been open. It would have had like no line and it could have gone right in, but I couldn't wait. And that's what killed me, I think. You know, I mean, like you said, is it really worth all that for freaking Dunkin' Donuts? It's not that good. I mean, I remember having it and it was like, yeah, it was nice, but I didn't go out of my way to go. And I don't even think the coffee's as good as Starbucks. I think Starbucks coffee's better. So what do you know? I mean, it's not bad. I'm just saying it's not as good. Right? Are you there? Junkman, don't tell
Starbucks
me.
Starbucks coffee's good.
Are you there? Hello? Do I have you?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me? Oh, no.
I'm here.
Can you hear me, Junkman?
I can sort of hear you.
Can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up big time.
Oh, am I breaking up? Okay. How about now? Can you hear me now? How's this? Good? No good? Junkie, hang on the line. Can you hear me? Hang on the line. I'll be right back. Oh, my gosh. Ooh, this is not my night. We'll be back after this. Back in the city.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
All right, we're back on the program here in the city, and Junkie's hopefully back on with us. Our phone connection was quit on us, and Skype is just acting up tonight. I think it's either Skype or Blog Talk Radio or both. And it's just not, it just doesn't seem to be functioning right. So, quick, just briefly, are you with us now, Kevin on the Cape? No. Okay. I honestly don't have the tolerance to use Blog Talk Radio any further for this program. I mean, I honestly am very close to just quitting Blog. I mean, I may quit Blog Talk Radio today. I mean, I think Skype's okay. I think Blog Talk Radio is the problem, honestly. Because if I dial Junkman now, I think it'll be okay. So, uh, know what's going on. Oh my gosh. So this is a, you know, we're gonna try it again one more time, and if it's just held in traction right now. I think blogtalkradio.com is the problem, though. I can't get a consistent connection for more than like 2 seconds. And as you can see, the connection to YouTube's fine. I mean, you can see me right here. I'm certainly having no issue with that. I think you've been able to catch you. We've been on the whole time on video. That's not been a problem. I think things seem to be working okay, but this is definitely just not the show we were hoping to have tonight. So my apologies to all of you who've been struggling with this. I don't know. Maybe it's just a bad omen. I can't really say. All I'm trying to do is get back on the phone, and I can't even seem to do that right now. So I'm at a loss for ideas at this point. Let me see if I can do the host call-in number through the analog phone. We'll do that next and see if this works. Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to call phones, and we'll call that now. And see if this works better. We'll go with that. And then if that does work better, then great. We'll stay with it.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN when finished.
We'll see if this
to
works.
Start your show now, press 1. To hear important instructions, press 2. Right.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Okay. Let's see if this works. Well, it doesn't really indicate that we are back online on Blog Talk Radio. We will wait a little bit longer and see how this is going. Okay, we're back online. Let's see if we can get Junkie back online. See if we have Kevin back on.
Hey,
there you are. Hi, Kevin. I don't know what's going on. Blog Talk Radio or Skype or both are really struggling tonight. I think it's Blog Talk Radio, though, personally. The Blog Talk Radio Skype account is dying. Now, you'll see that now that I'm connected with the phone account, it's probably fine. Like, am I breaking up at all at this point?
Not really, no. And okay. Just for the record, if Blog Talk Radio or Skype or YouTube or whoever can extract the last 8 minutes when you disappear and I just started talking to the phone by myself, I think that would be gold.
We'll see if they have that kind of technology on their hands. Well, anyway, Junkie, thank you very much for staying with us the whole time. Very kind of you. I don't even know what the hell we're talking about at this point. Parking? What were we getting into? Parking? Donuts?
Yeah, for some reason you want to do a Dunkin' Donuts because you're weird.
I'm an idiot. That's what it is. It's really nothing more than that. I could have saved myself a lot of money and a lot of aggravation, and I could have saved my fantasy team if I had just let it go. It's dumb. I don't know what possessed me to do such a thing. Because I think I've proven tonight that I got better donuts anyway in the local shop, which doesn't have a line, doesn't need one, but it's got the same quality, if not better. And I think I was just thinking back to the coffee that I had at the other place, DK. It actually does taste a lot like Dunkin' Donuts. They're very similar, which is to say, not terribly robust or bold or any of that, but that's irrelevant at this point. Junkie, I know we're half an hour. Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to acknowledge our other fantasy team. So one fantasy team isn't looking too good. That's the Umer League I'm in. But our paid league, the Tommy League, is what we call it. I thought the draft went very well. And I know you had a chance to look over the roster. Give us your thoughts about the draft that we did the other night.
No, you're good. I don't think people want to listen to people's fantasy football team stories.
I know it's a common adage, but the point is, I think we've got a formidable team, and I feel very good about having a good season. The most important part is that this time we are set at quarterback. I really like our quarterbacks. I think they're going to be fun to watch. I came close to picking Tony Romo, but I knew you didn't like him. Like you were, you knew. I know you've been picking on him for a lot. So I said, okay, we're not going to do that because I couldn't do that to my friend. So I got Jay Cutler instead, who I think has a decent ceiling of getting touchdown passes. He usually does, as long as he's not hurt.
Yeah, if you pick Tony Romo, we wouldn't be friends anymore.
I know. So, see, I was smart about that. I was that time I was thinking. Thankfully, I'm at a complete loss for human life. All right, so if you have a question for us tonight, tweet the question to @DipCal. We are now going to begin our random questions as best as we can. If you have any questions, just let us know @DipCal for those, and we will go down the line and get that rolling as much as we can. We thank you for joining us on what I think is the worst podcast of the year. Nothing has been going right this whole night. It's been bad, but that's not your fault, Junkman. You've been fantastic at just everything around us.
No, I mean, I take no blame for this whatsoever.
Great, I like it. So,
times that stuff I take blame for it, but
no, that won't happen tonight. And if you decide to go through this and still listen to us next week, I would thank you graciously for that. It really means a lot. Your loyalty is certainly appreciated here in the city. Thank you so much for that. So that's pretty much what I have in mind. Kevin, what's on your mind? Any other questions you had about anything before we get into our random questions?
Not really. Trying to think about anything going on. Not much. I mean, I'm...
Okay. That's fine. No problem. Summer coming to a close, as we know. Let's start random questions. We will go back to the CFCL 100 question survey. We left off at question number 39, which is, who sent the last text message you received? Who sent the last text message you received, Junkie?
You did.
Good answer, because that would have been my guess. So, great.
You said, hold on, I'm dialing. I should network it down.
Cool. Yeah, that just happened a few seconds ago, so nice.
I think it's this one again.
Let's see, who's the last one to send me a text message? Well, I would say it would have happened before this question. The last person to send me a text message was my uncle, and he's sharing with me something from YouTube, so that's cool. All right, good question, I guess. Next question. Question number 40 on the CFCL survey. Which store would you choose to max out your credit card?
Sounds like you're being abducted by aliens. I can't understand anything you just said.
Ah, great. Is my voice not coming in now? Can you hear me now?
Oh, now it is. Yeah, now okay. That was good.
I don't know what's going on tonight. It's. Can you hear me now? How's that? Good? Okay.
Not really.
No?
Get like every fourth word.
Okay. How about now? Is that good?
Better.
Okay. I guess I gotta talk softer tonight. So the question 40 is, what store would you choose to max out your credit card?
That's a good one. I'm such a simple man. I know it sounds pathetic and lame, and there's this store on the East Coast. I don't think you have it over there. It's called Kohl's.
We have Kohl's, yeah, with a K.
You know, Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. All right. Great. Then you know what I'm saying. And it's just like normal shoes and normal shirts mm-hmm. and jeans. And I can shop there like once. Basically, we can shop for clothes like once a year there. And they don't have people like pestering you to buy stuff. You're pretty much on your own. So I don't like shopping in places where there's salesmen, you know, beating you down over the head about stuff. And it sounds lame because I could probably, you know, spend $300 and have clothes for the year. So that's not exactly maxing out your credit card. But I'm not a fancy guy. I buy like shoes for work and then another pair and I'm done. You know, I get two things of pants and maybe some stuff for some other people. They have other stuff, but that's probably where I would go, only because we have one out here on the Cape now and like a half hour from here.
That's a cool store, though. My mom loves Kohl's as well. She might use, she might max out her card at Kohl's. That's a good one. I don't know. I mean, I thought just like the grocery store, honestly, I think that'd be fun. Like, you know, I could have carte blanche over the deli and things like that. I choose a really good store, though. Like, I choose a nice grocery store, a really good one. So it would be that or Whole Foods Market. Whole Foods Market would be a great place to max out a card. And you could get wine there, really good, and fresh barbecue and burgers and things. They actually have like a smokehouse in the big fresh in the big ones in the big Whole Foods is great seafood. So I thought, okay, why don't I just go to Whole Foods Market, like a giant one, and max out my credit card there.
Sounds like you're standing on landmines and they're exploding all around you.
Wait, so you is this because the voice is breaking up again? Junkie, can you hear me now? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me? Well, I think we're going to end the show tonight. I just have had enough. I will do one thing, though. What I'm going to do is I'm going to contact Junkman on I'm going to contact him via Skype direct. So I will call his I'm going to call his phone number and I'm going to call his phone number and we'll just go ahead and we'll just pick it up and just do maybe one more question and we'll end it there tonight. For those of you listening on YouTube, that's what we'll do. For those on Blog Talk Radio, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done. I've had enough of that. I've had enough of that lousy service. It's just simply abysmal. So I will dial our friend Junkman's number, and we will see if we can at least connect with him for a few minutes before we end the show tonight. And we'll end it that way, and hopefully... Did that work? It doesn't look like it worked. Try it again. Okay. So now I'm going to call the junk man on the phone via Skype direct. We will see if that works for our purposes, and then I'll go from there. I don't know. It's just one of those nights where you just don't feel like doing anything at this point, and it's just been tough. And it's not going through. Or is it? Hello? Junkie? Kevin, that you? Hello? Hello? Okay, we'll wait. Wait for the number to dial.
To leave a callback number, press 5.
Oh, hello, Junkman. This is Dave. I'm trying.
We didn't get your message either because you were not speaking or because of a bad connection. To disconnect, press 1. To record your message, press 2.
All right, we'll try another one.
We didn't get your message either because... Because you were not speaking or because of a bad connection.
Hello? Hello? Oh, I give up. You know what? That's enough. That's enough. We're done. The show is over. This is the worst... I think I can even say this is the worst podcast episode of all time. You have been witness to history. Farewell and... And I don't know. We'll try to do better next time. Thanks again. Thanks to Kevin on the Cape for joining us. Thanks to John in Connecticut and Andy in Seattle for bearing with us. Thanks for nothing, Dunkin' Donuts. What a waste. This whole thing was ruined because of your super, uber too much hype. But thanks anyway. Have a great night. We'll see you next time.